Then, there we go. I bring you greetings from the Providence Independent Methodist Church of Bon Lee, who are here today, scattered among you. That's how they support their pastor. Thank you very much. I can start to see you now. I bring you greetings from the Upper Room Praise Band. I did not tell them I was here today. Shh. They will not understand. And I thank you. I thank you for the invitation. I was here in January. What a way to start and end a year for Baptist Men's Day. And what a special, special, special day. I have been in and out of enough Baptist churches guest speaking to know that I am strictly a first date guy. And that once you speak in a Baptist church, everyone sends you out the door the same way. Enjoy your message. Enjoy your message. Enjoy your message. Baptists would be great card players if they only did. So the proof in the pudding is what happens following, if they ever invite you back. One stands out in my mind 15, 20 years ago. Well, 16 years ago, 11 months, 4 days and 9 hours ago. I spoke at a Baptist church in our association, and I was brought on for 2 weeks. And I went the first Sunday, and I delivered what I thought was the message for the ages. And Monday morning, they called and said, "We won't need you next week." And so, in January, when Travis asked me to come back for homecoming in November, I started writing and praying. And writing. There are 5 sermons that have been written and discarded for this day. That's how excited I am. Several weeks ago, when I thought I was zeroing in on a topic, I turn on WRAL News one night, and there's Pastor Allen. Now I thought, are you serious? Start again. And then came this week. 2 things have happened this week that have given me clarity of what I want to share with you today. The first is this. Yesterday afternoon, I was blessed beyond measure to participate in the wedding of one of my former youth at First Baptist. And the family have been friends for a lifetime. Normally, I'm very close to one of the couple and have no clue about the other. And this time, though, the groom happened to be a lifelong friend of my wife's. And so we both came into this wedding super excited. And we went through the process. And last night we're at the reception. And the DJ starts, we're sitting at the table. And he says, "Gentlemen, if you love your wives, get them out on the dance floor." And I look up from my plate and Karen's staring at me. And so we go to the dance floor. We realized after about 3 beats that we had never danced together before. I'm always in the band. And that my wife likes to lead. I knew that. But as the song ended, the DJ began playing a medley of songs that you would not know unless you lived in a middle school or were under 25 years old. And we went through the Wobble, and we went through the Cupid Shuffle, and we went through the Stinky Leg. Yes, it exists. And as we're doing all these things, Karen nudges me and points. And in the middle of the group, 200 or 300 people, and in the middle of the group, is a friend of mine and his wife. He is 101 this week. She's 76. Don't worry, that cradle's safe. And he was dancing as hard as he could go. And I felt old. And I thought about that. And I went home and this week in my class, I always know the calendar by where I'm at in the story of American history. And where we are is just beginning to march up to the American Revolution. And I was talking this week about the Carey Rebellion and Culpeper's Rebellion and all these things in pre-colonial North Carolina. And I was talking about the Anglicans, and the Anglicans couldn't get along with the Quakers, and the Quakers couldn't get along with the Methodists and the Baptists and George Whitefield. And one of my little girls stops me and she says, "Why are all these fights about religion? Why do people get so upset about their religion?" And as anyone who knows me will tell you, my mouth is usually five steps ahead of my mind. And I was really interested with what came out of my mouth. And what I said was this: think about what religion and faith mean. Any 13-year-old can do that. And the question is not why did they get so upset about it or why were they so into it. The question for us today is why aren't we? And the answer was interesting. She said, I don't think Americans care. And I said, that says a lot, doesn't it? Because if it is what we claim it is, if it is what we claim it is, then it has to matter. It has to matter. And so here we go. I would like to read for you the first 6 verses of John chapter 14. You know them well. Jesus said, "Let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Good old Thomas said to Jesus, "We don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Word of God. So, what if that's all true? What if that's all true? I don't mean true in a let me stroll into a sanctuary somewhere for my weekly spiritual massage and listen with half an ear to things that will be forgotten before the NFL pregame show is over kind of way. I don't mean true in a let me find a place to buffer my children from the filth of the cold, dark world and assure that they and I are surrounded by allegedly nice and passably friendly people kind of way. I don't mean true in a feel-good, soft-souled, lightweight, easy-listening, take-it-and-leave-it kind of way. Excuse me. What if it's all true? I mean true in a don't jump out of the moving vehicle, go on green and stop on red, don't chew on a frayed drop cord, don't step out in front of a moving truck, don't dry off with your red beach towel in an angry bull's field kind of way. What if it's all true? What if it's true that there is a God? Not in an I believe in the wonder of giving and call it Santa Claus kind of way. Not in an arrow pierced my heart from the bow of the bare-butted baby and I fell in love kind of way. What if there is a God who was and is to come? What if there is a God who is here and there and everywhere at the same time, who was in the past and in the now and 10,000 years from now at the same time, because that God was outside of time, who was in this very room and in the overcrowded, understaffed refugee centers of Haiti and on the sunny slopes of Pluto, 2.5 billion miles away, right now. What if that God spoke a word? Let there be. And the first ray of light split the eternal darkness. The first pelican skimmed across the first wave. The first giraffe munched from the first tree. The first man and the first woman stretched up from the dust and into the brand new sunlight and exhaled. What if that God who was and is to come fell in love? Head over heels, can't take his eyes or mind off of, whip out a picture for every angel he passes, love with you and with me. What if that God was so in love with me and you that he called out to us day and night, around the clock and around every corner, constantly called to us? What if that God was so in love with me and you that he spared no expense, no creation, no imagination to gift us with life, with health, with home, with today, with this very minute? What if that God was so in love with us that he actually stalked us, clearing a path here, cleaning a mess there, running ahead of us to make sure that doors were open and staying behind us to make sure that the lights were out, waking us every morning with the chirping birds and tucking us in every night under a blanket of stars too many to count? What if that's true? What if that God gave his only begotten Son to die in a bloody and brutal act that he would never forget, and I would seldom remember? What if that God who was and is to come yanked his only begotten Son out of the grave and gave him life again, took death itself in a headlock beatdown, and said, I will do the same for you if you just believe? What if? What if that's true? That I'm a product of a heaven without worries, without sickness, without anger and fear, or inadequacy or hate, without time, without ending, and that I carry a memory of a home for which I'm bound. That the cold, hard fact that I don't feel like I belong here screams to me that I don't. That the fact that I can't wrap my mind around the passage of time, hours carry the heavy weight of dragging a dead elephant through a quicksand playground. Years fly by like the passing of a summer morning. That I just can't feel at home in time means that I'm not. That I'm made for eternity, and time will never do. That I am a citizen of a city four square, and that being a little or a lot square here, that's just who I am. What if it's true? That by believing in the sacrifice and resurrection of the only begotten Son of God, and I don't mean believing in the way that I believe that the Cincinnati Reds will one day play baseball again in October, or that the Wolfpack will hoist a national basketball championship trophy again, or that Elvis is alive somewhere, enjoying the anonymity that most people would give anything not to know. I mean believing in the way that I believe in the necessity of air when I've been underwater 10 seconds too long, or in the way that I believe in the power of prayer. When Karen's driving by herself from Birmingham to Sanford and she's an hour behind schedule and the radio's drowning out the cell phone. What if it's true that believing in the sacrifice and resurrection of the only begotten Son of God, like my life depended on it, because it does. That somehow, through the amazing grace of an amazing Creator, my believing, not as a mental or emotional exercise, but as an act of life itself, places me in the accounts paid category into which only the only begotten Son of God belongs. And that the longing for home that fills me when I feel so lost here, the frustration of never being the person I plan to be every morning sitting on the side of the bed, and the loneliness that consumes me in the most crowded of rooms can be gone. What if that's true? That the only begotten Son who lived and died and lives again is willing, waiting to take up residence in me, to live my life with and through me, to become more real every day I take up my belief and take it to heart and mind and soul and strength, to fill me from the inside with the heaven I try so hard to find on the outside. What if that's true? That God cares about everyone I've ever met and the people I never will, just like He cares about me. Well, if that's true, then it changes things. I mean, what if God's trying to talk to the girl in my first period class, or the guy in the office next door, or the lady in line at the grocery store, through me? Is my life a transmitter of His message? Would anybody be able to say that Brian knows God, even if they don't know Brian? What if that's true? Am I a reflection of the God who lives inside of me, or do I shelve that from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday? Putting everything from soccer to Spanish 2 to Facebooking, hunting, working, my boyfriend, my children, my job in the way. Thank you, God, that you don't pay attention to me the way I pay attention to you. What if it's true that we are all ministers and missionaries? What if I let them take their first drink because that's their business and another alcoholic's born or another drunk driver hits the street to hit who knows what? What if I enjoy the music because the beat's good, even if the message is not? I don't listen to the words, but someone who listens to me might. What if someone sits alone in a restaurant counting Christian t-shirts and family values types that pass them by in silence, never asking them to join? What if the clothes I wear and keep in every color in my closet were stitched together by some lady whose bare feet brought her to work today to be abused and underpaid? What if this body really is a temple of God? What if what I put on it and in it needs to be temple worthy? What if this life really is just the flicker of an eye that preceded an eternity based on how I spent my flicker? Will the people I passed and never knew in this world know me in the next? Did my life show anybody enough heaven on earth to let them know that heaven is real? Or did my life leave them wondering why I even talk about a Jesus who apparently means so little to real life anyway? You can't take it with you, but you most certainly take you with you. Are you heaven ready? Are you heaven now, here? Not because you want to get there, but because by the grace of a real God who loves us completely, we already are. Gang, if that's true, then it changes things. If that's true, then religion is not an insurance policy against potential horrors of life or death. And church isn't a misguided karmic payoff against time spent other places. Religion, far from being a premium paid on some future reward, is a celebration of the reward claimed, owned, embraced, irrigated, fertilized, and living right now in you and me. And church isn't a shelter from, but a lighthouse for a dark, cold world. He said we're light, we're salt. Those preserve, they cure, they flavor the world. But hey, salt, light, you've got to touch them to do any of that. If it's all true, then our faith is not defined by the fact that our backsides are in these seats, but by what they do when they carry us out those doors. If it's true, then our religion isn't defined by the Bible we know, but by the Bible we are to an illiterate and uninterested world who are starving and don't even know they're hungry. If it's true, our lives aren't given value so much from even the commandments that we keep as from the love that brought us to the idea of keeping them in the first place. Guys, if it's all true, then the only unassailable, unmistakable, undeniable witness to that truth is in the changed life of a simple, believing human being whose silent witness speaks sermons that words would never capture. And if it's all true, then the work in it all is God's. We have but to show up, shut up, and give up, and allow Him to do the saving that our best efforts could never do. Listen, God is speaking. Don't answer, just listen. Don't promise, just accept that you're loved. Don't intend, just be. Just believe. Because if it's true, then it's all that matters. And if we who live in this day and in this time live any other way, then we're going to have some explaining to do. Because those who lived their lives and fought their fights and died their deaths because it did matter are waiting for us, and we will spend eternity with them. Just imagine sitting around some coffee shop in heaven, sharing an endless sunny morning with a table full of new friends. Someone on the other side of the table tells about the time she claimed her belief in God under a high school library table in Colorado, and it cost her life and sent her to an eternal one. A guy, two people around the table, talks about translating the Bible into English from the Latin version and being mistreated and persecuted his whole life. That his body was dug up from the only peaceful place he'd ever known here and burned at the stake after he died, along with the book he'd given his life to and for. a sort of nerdy looking guy around the table. He talks about flying into an Ecuadorian jungle with his friends in hopes of ministering to the native people who speared them all to death before they'd even gotten to explain why they were there. And wait for it. The guy beside him, speaking a language you don't know but do understand, tells the table that he'd thrust the spear that day, but the message had survived its messengers, and he was home. An elegant lady beside him, she talks about her training as an attorney in Italy, who'd given up her practice on the continent to work in an AIDS hospital in Africa. The locals didn't think the sick deserved help and formed crowds around the hospital and threw stones through windows when they could see her working inside. Eventually, she'd been shot in the head at the bedside of one she'd given her life to help. And then there's silence. You've been so wrapped up in the stories that you haven't even noticed the only one who hasn't spoken is you. They all look across the table, and beside you, someone places a hand on your shoulder. It's your turn. What will you say? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 60 years and counting. We thank you for the ministry of the Tramway Baptist Church that has passed, and that the ministry is to go on until you split the sky. But we thank you for right now. We thank you for our link in the chain. May it be forged true. That 60 years from now, when they gather in this place to worship the unchanging God in an ever-changing world, they will look back on us as roses in a baptistry and know that we held true. We thank you, for if you are anything, then you are everything. And we thank you that you have called to us and call to us still. Bless the worship and the celebration of this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Hill.
Brian, thank you. And the hymn of invitation is 317. Only trust Him. And we invite you to come this morning to accept Christ as your Savior, to unite with this church, to recommit your life to Him as we stand and as we sing.